Glenn was our friend. We've been here for a little over 20 years at Grace Point. We came from another church. And his friendship and Barbara's has just meant the world. We just kind of latched on to each other. Talking about his humor, I don't know that he remembered when he was at Truman after his injury, but I've worked at Truman for 36 years, and he loved to always check with me every Sunday morning in Sunday school if I'd had my Truman experience, because I went back after I retired, and I'm still there. They can't get rid of me. So, but he would always say, "Jeannie, have you had that Truman experience?" And I said, "Yes, I have, Glenn. I'm all fixed up." And then the other thing, Sal would sing in Sunday school, and sometimes we'd sing together. And he always wanted, when Sal would start to get up, he said, "Is it a duet? I want a duet." So he was our deacon, and I know Barbara helped him a lot with his deacon work, as she did with everything. I always told him he was my hero, and he was, and Barbara is also the hero. I loved him very much, and he was my hero. And Glenn, I'm going to have that Truman experience on Monday.
I will keep this short. My kids are like, "Oh no." So, now I'm Bobby Bryant. I'm married to Glenn's niece, for those that don't know who I am, Kathy Driller, now Bryant. Chris, I got to add something to that. Patience. I worked for Glenn for 7 years, I think it was. He was so patient because I could mess up more than I could fix many times. I knew I was probably in the wrong industry, but Glenn was very kind and patient, and we had a crew of real knuckleheads together. It was quite the thing. But the other thing about Glenn, it's been said that he was an expert in his field. What many people don't understand, he wasn't just an expert. He is an icon. He truly is, and I don't say that just lightly. He truly was an icon. I have been out of that industry for so many years, and I still to this day have run into people that talk about Glenn Anderson, the water heater guy, who knows everything there is to know. When I've run into plumbers on job sites and different things, and they will say that they're going to have to call Glenn Anderson to get help because they don't know what to do. And so he truly was an expert, and he has become a legend in that. But the other thing about him, as many people have said, is that he is or was the most caring person that I think I've ever met. And he cared for everybody. And there were no strangers. There were just friends. And even people that gave him a difficult, difficult time, he cared for them so much. And he was there for everyone. And he will truly be missed. And Barbara, you and Glenn have created such a legacy together in your family, in business, and in faith. The Lord, and the psalmist says, it is precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of one of his godly ones. And that is true today.
want to invite Pastor Bob Michael to come up and share with us now. Thank you, Bob.
Can you hear me now? There we go. You probably want me to turn it back off. We liked it better before. My name is Bob Michael, and Glenn Anderson was a lifelong friend of mine. Janice and I met Barbara and Glenn at church a few years ago, and we quickly became friends. The basis for our friendship was, of course, our common faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I quickly discovered, in talking with Glenn, that he and I had some common background early in our lives, with kind of the first jobs for both of us. Glenn worked at Emery Bird Thayer department store at 11th and Grand in downtown Kansas City. Anyone remember Emery Bird? I worked just across 11th Street in the Bryant building. And although we didn't know each other at the time, after we got acquainted, we talked a lot about an early job for both of us, and working in downtown and some of the things that happened there. I got to tell you, I always liked spending time with Glenn and just talking with him. He always had numerous humorous stories. A lot of them were job related, but we also talked about more serious things, about family and faith. Glenn worked hard building his own business, Glenn and Barbara together, and their company not only supported their family, but involved so many people that worked for them or had training or input from Glenn, as we've heard in some of these people that have shared already, what an impact they had on so many lives. We also heard about his near fatal car accident that he had back in 1988 while driving on an icy interstate highway. And since then, that changed a lot, and Glenn has really endured a lot. But by God's grace and the loving care of his wife, Glenn not only endured, but thrived. Barbara, your commitment to loving and caring for Glenn has been a beautiful thing to behold. Thank you. I've always amazed at how Glenn could keep his sense of humor when he was really hurting. When asked how he was doing, Glenn would often reply that he was fit as a fiddle. Nope, that's not right, is it? That's not exactly right. Glenn had changed that a little bit. Glenn would say he was as fit as a Stradivarius. Stradivarius musical instruments were made by an Italian family, the Stradivari family, in the 17th and 18th centuries. They were considered the finest instruments ever made and are extremely valuable today to collectors. Many still believe that the sound quality of a Stradivarius violin is unequal. So when Glenn said he was as fit as a Stradivarius, he wasn't talking about, of course, much better than an ordinary fiddle, but also to be fit as a Stradivarius was to be fit above any other standards. I visited him one day at St. Luke's Hospital during one of his many hospitalizations, and I asked him again about how he was doing. He gave me that familiar reply that he was as fit as a Stradivarius. And then he went on to kind of laugh, and he said, Dr. So-and-so was in here earlier today, and he asked me how I was doing. And I said, I was as fit as a Stradivarius, to which the doctor replied, well, what are you doing in this place then? And Glenn laughed about that. Even though he was hurting, he could still laugh about things like that. Well, I've never come close to enduring in my life what Glenn Anderson endured, especially during his final years. Our Lord and Savior, though, knows what it's like to suffer. He's been there, and he is there for us. He has been there for Glenn and Barbara throughout the years when the going was the hardest. I've also read about another man in the Bible who experienced much. The Apostle Paul experienced unimaginable persecution and suffering. When he was justifying his qualifications to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, he listed some of the things that he had experienced in his life. Listen with me now as I share with you what Paul shared in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I have been beaten times without number, even in danger of death. 5 times I received the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have spent adrift on the sea. I have been on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from among false brothers. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Do you think Paul was qualified to talk about suffering? Listen as he describes the resources available that were available to him and are available to us during our time in suffering. This comes from the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now we have this treasure in earthly containers so that the extraordinary greatness of the power, the will of God will be from him and not ourselves. Paul says here that we have a treasure within earthly containers. In other words, our human bodies. We don't have to face trials on our own. What is this treasure? What is this power? The extraordinary greatness of the power of God. It's not of ourselves. What does this treasure Paul talks about enable us to do? Well, he continues. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You get all that? Afflicted, yes, but not crushed. Perplexed, yes, but not despairing. Persecuted, yeah, but not abandoned. Struck down and not destroyed. We are talking about supernatural power here, not our own natural abilities. It was what the Apostle Paul received and from the Lord and enabled him to be triumphant. It was also by the grace of God that Glenn not only endured, but was victorious. And the grace of God is also available to each of us as we continue our journey through life. We are not only fragile vessels, but within all believers is the surpassing power of the living God. It was apparent in the life of the Apostle Paul. It was also apparent in the life of Glenn Anderson. Paul continues to give us a proper perspective on victorious living. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart, But though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. It's so easy to lose heart, especially when our outer person is fading away and decaying. I'm sure Glenn lost heart temporarily on several occasions, probably privately, yet he remained strong. The scripture tells us just how this is possible. The inner person, the real Glenn, was being renewed day by day by the grace of God. To God be the glory. Paul went on to say, for our momentary and light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. How could Glenn's physical afflictions be considered either light or momentary? He had faced so many challenges and painful, debilitating challenges for many years. But when compared to the eternal glory that awaited him, they were both light and momentary. Glenn, you see, had an eternal perspective. And I think that's kind of the key to a lot of things that have been shared about him today. He had an eternal perspective. Some people plan their own funeral in great detail. Glenn wasn't interested in that. His eternal perspective made planning for his earthly departure an insignificant detail. Well, now we'll look at continuing on Paul's thinking on this. His perspective gets around to our homegoing. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We are not to focus over the seen, but rather what is now, at least, unseen. We know that what is seen is temporary. Everything we see around us is one day going to be gone. It is the unseen that is far more glorious, and it is also eternal. I'm going to conclude with what Paul said following all of this discussion that he provided for us here. We know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. Glenn has now given up his old worn-out earthly tent for something far better. He no longer lives in a house made by hands. He has a glorious, eternal home made by God. Glenn is truly now even more fit than a Stradivarius. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your never-ending love and your powerful provisions. We are thankful that we can celebrate you with you when we're on the mountaintops. We're even more thankful that we can cherish your love and provision when we are traveling through the deep, dark valleys. We are thankful that you were there with Glenn when the going was the toughest. We're thankful for Glenn's faith and trust in you. It is the reason we gather here today to celebrate his life and not mourn his death. We are thankful for the love and support of his faithful wife, Barbara. We pray that in the coming days, your presence in her life will provide her with that peace that passes all human understanding. I pray for those here today who have never embraced you as Savior and Lord. May they acknowledge you and be filled with the extraordinary greatness of your power and love. We ask this in your name, Christ Jesus, and amen.
Can sit or you can stand, but we're going to close the service with How Great Thou Art, singing it with the, we're all singing it together, and then even the guy on the tape's going to sing with us, so we'll have a full house. I'm ready when you are, David.
Great.
Stand. Thank you. Thou art.
thank you that we can sing and celebrate the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you are great. We thank you, and we commit Glenn to you now. We thank you for his life, his legacy. We pray that now you would comfort his family, comfort his loved ones. And Lord, I pray that the lives that he impacted would go and impact other lives in like manner. And we thank you again, Lord, for the hope that we have that there is an eternity awaiting all of us. We praise you and we thank you for what you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. I know it means a lot to the family. And just for the family, there is a reception luncheon which will be through those doors in the dining room. And if you can make your way there, I know the ladies there have done a great job. And Barbara, we couldn't stop you, but she has been involved in preparing and helping. So thank you for... This is supposed to be a day when you were blessed, and so thank you for... You were blessing Glenn, so thank you. Thank you again so much for coming this morning. God bless you.